You notice from the bulletin today that our lesson is entitled Congregational Missions. You might think that somewhat of an odd title. And I may seem to be speaking just a little bit differently this morning because what I'm going to be speaking about is something that resides deep into my family's experience. On the 12th of July, 13 people went to the nation of Ecuador. And because Liz and I have been concerned about missions in Spanish-speaking countries, and because we have people that are interested in helping us have this type of a vision for Latin America, we decided that we would put together what we're calling Mission Ventures. And we have planned, if the Lord wills and our health is good, and our church continues to allow us to have the time to do it, that we plan on taking a group from this church with us to Ecuador every July. We want our young people, in conversation with Jeff, with a youth minister in Midland named Rudy Munoz, we're looking at the possibility of next summer taking our youth, and I'll talk about that in just a moment. And I'd like for the congregation to pray about it because it's not something that we have decided, but it's something that God has put in our hearts. And Jeff and I and Liz are discussing the matter. I want you to know that we are indebted to the Lord for His willingness and ability to use instruments to preach the gospel to every creature under the sun. And that God has in mind for us to do things His way and to have a certain perspective on what the world is to look like after Christians have had access to people who have not heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, I don't have a monitor sitting down here in front of me, so I'm not exactly sure what's behind me, so I will have to turn around every now and again to look. But I'd like to show you just a few slides as I tell you a little bit about our trip. You'll notice here that Ecuador is a country of about 13 million souls. It is surrounding it the nations of Colombia and Peru and also to the Pacific Ocean. It is one of the countries in Latin America that has one of the biggest doors that's been opened to the preaching of the gospel. Of all the nations in that area, Ecuador has been very willing to listen to the gospel, and there are a lot of people that are turning away from their Catholic heritage to listen to the good news of Jesus. We took a group, as I said, of 13. My family makes up 6, plus 7 more. The Eglings went with us, Tammy and Corey, along with Ashley Hurst. And then we had Sherry and Rebecca Lee, and John Bryant from Granbury, and Stephanie Tomberlin, who goes to church at Travis Peak. You'll notice that as you look at Ecuador, it is an incredibly beautiful country that's made up of a lot of contrasts. The culture is, on one side, it's very modern, but on the other hand, it's quite primitive. It's very beautiful, but at the same time, it can be very complicated to maneuver because of the lack of an infrastructure of politics and finance and the like. We find in Zechariah chapter 7, beginning in verse 9, a Christian perspective about what it means to minister to the poor. And you remember, in the Old Testament, God was concerned not just about Israel, His chosen. God was concerned about every creature. And He would tell Israel that as you go, that you take care of the aliens and the poor and the widows and the fatherless. And so we'll read in Zechariah the prophet. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Administer true justice. Show mercy and compassion to one another. Do not oppress the widow or the fatherless, the alien or the poor. In your hearts, do not think evil of each other. We have the perspective that means that we don't show favoritism within the church, that we want to preach the gospel to everybody, no matter where they're at, whether it is in the nation of Ecuador or behind the oppressive regime of Fidel Castro in Cuba. As we get to the New Testament, we find something that Jesus tells us, and it becomes what we could call the Christian mandate. And he says, the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him, that is Jesus. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because He has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." We had this on our hearts and minds as we began to take off on our trip. And we decided that if we were going to preach the gospel, we wanted to do it in a way wherein the people that went could participate. And so Liz hit upon the idea of preaching the gospel using our family and others through drama. Now, granted, Liz and I were the only ones that spoke Spanish within our group. And we thought, how in the world can we allow these people to participate in something that is meaningful to them, wherein they could actually teach the gospel in Spanish? And so Liz wrote a drama, and I translated it to Spanish. We worked on it. Then each person was able to memorize their lines. They memorized their lines to such an extent, most of the time, that the people that were listening thought that they spoke Spanish. Not only did they learn some Spanish, but they were able to identify with the people in these places. We went 12 to 16 hours a day. And that's not counting the travel days. We left on a Tuesday. We got up on the next morning, did a little bit of sightseeing, left for Cuenca in the afternoon, got there on Wednesday, able to have supper and go to bed. The next morning we got up early, and we had scheduled to visit children's homes, orphanages, and a prison, or a child care next door to a women's prison. So we had two each morning, two each afternoon, and then on Friday we only had one in the afternoon. And you see from the photos that as we went in, we were able to present the drama, preaching the gospel through using the parable of the lost sheep. The children were very taken in with what was being taught. And then after that, we got all the kids together. And we normally went to a large room like a cafeteria, and this is when everybody got to participate again, people who weren't in the drama. Liz took up a collection for a number of crayons. You should have seen the kids with a little box of crayons in their hands. And they said, "We really get to keep this?" They were excited that they could actually keep a little box of 24-count crayons. You say, well, why is that so important? It's because these people are so poor that when groups bring clothes in, they fight for a shirt or a pair of socks or a pair of pants. As we went in, they would sit around and they were able to use their hands the way we do in Bible class. They had never experienced something that for us is just so normal. To go to a Bible class and to hear a lesson, and then to be able to glue something, to cut out something, and to color something. And they were overcome by the compassion that was shown by members of the body of Christ. You see, when the Lord tells us to go and to preach the good news to the poor, we can really identify with what it means to preach to somebody who has no money. But we should never forget that these people are spiritually destitute. Why do we bring the crayons? It's because we realize they have a need that's greater than being able to color something. It's because they have never heard the good news of Jesus. A lot of the kids live on the streets and they come into the daycare during the day because the government provides this type of a program. You can see from the photos the type of people that we're trying to reach in all of these different countries. If Jesus was willing to preach to the poor, and if Jesus were to say, as He did, that you'll always have the poor among you, the thing that the church must realize is that we have the responsibility of preaching the good news to the poor. Well, we also have to preach the good news through the message from the pulpit. And I was able to bring the Word. And as you notice, from Mark chapter 16, the Word says, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. That's an amazing statement. Because the first verb is to go. To go where? To go into all the world. Certainly He's talking about in our own neighborhoods, isn't He? And we tend to miss that point congregationally. But He's also talking about individual Christians getting out of their own culture and going to a different part of the world and preaching the gospel. I wonder, as I reflect upon the things that are important to the church today, and I'm wondering if maybe people could spend their money changing the worldview of their own lives and that of their children by forsaking perhaps a trip to Branson, Missouri or to Six Flags and accompanying a missionary to a foreign country to preach the good news to the poor. In fact, you're not really giving up anything. The truth is, God would be bringing incredibly more than you can ever imagine to your life. Because God blesses not by giving. God blesses mostly. Or God blesses by giving more than He does by receiving. And you'll notice, as you look at the slides, that we were able to preach to a packed house. People would sit outside so they could hear the message of the gospel. In Matthew chapter 28, the Lord says the following. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. That's a very enlightening statement. Go and make disciples of all nations. You may ask yourself, why has this church been so invested in Italy? Because the church's perspective has been to disciple the nation of Italy. We're not interested merely in the conversion of a number of souls. We have a worldview of trying to grasp an entire culture for Jesus Christ. And that comes by sending men and women in with a word from God to speak to the people. Then Jesus says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. You see, church, do we believe that we have been given a message from God? Because if we haven't, then why don't we write a check and send it to another religious group and let them do their work in a foreign country? But if we have been given a word from God that talks about the purity and sanctity of the gospel, we have to ask ourselves, who has it when it comes to understanding the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? I'll tell you who has it. The churches of Christ have it. Because the churches of Christ believe that one comes to Christ by understanding the gospel. What is the gospel? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4 says, it is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then Paul would write, when he's writing to the Thessalonians, he would say to them that all of those people who do not know God and obey the gospel will spend eternity being condemned to a place that God calls hell. There's only two ways. There is a way to heaven and a way to hell. The way to heaven is a very narrow road that God calls discipleship. Discipleship is rooted in slavery and service. And one has to make a choice to go down the narrow road. The way to condemnation is extremely wide, the Lord says. And many people will enter into it. Why? Because that's just what we do. We don't think about what to think, or we don't think about what the truth is, and then to obey the truth, then we just naturally do what comes to us. And that's to do what everybody else does. The salvation of the world has been given to the church. Who are we? We're the church. What is the church? The church is the body of Christ. And the body of Christ has been separated. It's been sanctified. It's been consecrated for a very special work. And that work is to obey Jesus, to live our lives on the basis of faith, to go into all the world, to preach the gospel, and to baptize in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Then what does the verse say? And then to teach them everything that God has commanded us. The work is so big that the work needs you. God needs you. You say, well, God's using me. God's using me because I know how important world missions is. It's for that reason that I give sacrificially on Sundays. I know how important it is to God because I lay aside every month because I'm looking forward to our mission Sunday in September. And I give. God wants something more. God wants you to go and to be involved somewhere in this world so that you can identify with the Lord and Savior Jesus who went. And God wants you, perhaps even more for our culture, to come to a realization that we live with such riches. And most people in this world live with relatively nothing. If you check on websites, they'll give you certain stats about if each Christian would give up buying a Coke at Taco Bell each day, about how many souls would be saved. I'm sure you've seen all of this information. I'm not saying that we don't sacrifice. What I'm saying is that sacrifice has a different definition when you see it with your own eyes. When the little dirty, smelly children come up to you and they say thanks, and you see something in them that you've never seen before in anybody else, you know what that is? Need. Need. And their greatest need, church, is Jesus. But how can they know Jesus unless somebody tell them? You say, I don't speak Spanish. So what? The Holy Spirit does. You may say, I feel uncomfortable with that. You're going to have to get over it. God, through His Spirit, can use our presence by sitting with somebody, touching somebody, will allow them to identify with the love and compassion that only God can show. And you know how God shows it, don't you?
through you, through us. I'd like for our young people, and I've always wondered about this, but I'd like for our young people to say to themselves, I want to be a preacher. I want to be a missionary. You know what we have in this church? We have a heritage of people going to AIM. Melanie Morrow, Jeff Dunn, and others. And look how their lives have changed because they got out of their culture. They went somewhere else and they saw something and experienced something that they never would have otherwise. You know that God can change your life if you're willing to give Him a week or 2 weeks each year? You save your money. You save your money for your children. If some religious group in the world can save money and send their kids on a mission for a year or 2 years, I'm wondering what Churches of Christ can do, the Church of the Living God, if they have the vision for missions. Next summer, Lord willing, Liz and I will be returning to Ecuador. I want you to go with us. I want you to go with us. Will you, at this moment, begin to pray and ask God to put on your heart not only a desire to go, but the money that will allow you to go? You know, money never kept God from doing anything through His people. That's hard to fathom, isn't it? Because all we say is, I can get off work, but I don't have the money. Money never kept God from accomplishing anything. How did the Israelites build that incredible tabernacle in the wilderness? They didn't have anything. They were enslaved. They only had what the Egyptian gave them. God had the Egyptians give it to the Israelites, and the Israelites had more than they needed. So where did it come from? It came from God. Where will it come from if you would like to go and be involved in a short-term mission? It'll come from God. Just as water flowed from a flat rock, money will flow from people's hearts. And God will change your life. Will you faithfully and prayerfully consider being involved in missions yourself? This is what God wants for all of us, to get a taste of what it's all about. If you're here this morning and you have come to a realization that you think that Jesus is the Savior, the message is the same. The message is, we want you to recognize Him as indeed that Savior, the one who died on the cross for you, the one upon your confession, upon your immersion in water, will forgive you all of your sins. He will adopt you as His child. You become a member of His body. He gives you a seal guaranteeing your salvation eternally, the promised Holy Spirit. Do you want that? The waters of baptism are waiting you right now. They're warm and they're ready. Will you please come right now as we all stand and sing?